When I hear supper club, I think, I don't know, 1940s schmancy dress-up destination for lavish entertainment and pricey eats. But modern-day supper clubs, well, they're stepping away from the old school with all sorts of new twists. The Vegas supper club scene has returned in full force, and they're getting a lot of heat. Today on CityCast Las Vegas, we take a seat with Review Journal features columnist and sharp-dressed man about town, John Katsalamidis, to find out what's the deal with the ever-growing number of modern Las Vegas supper clubs and how to get the best bang for your supper buck. It's Thursday, October 26th. I'm David Figler, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. John Katsalamidis, Cats of the Las Vegas Review Journal. Welcome to CityCast Las Vegas.
Hello, David. It's good to be with you, sir. David with a Y, as I
that
say.
That is me.
Yeah.
Well, you're. I don't want to out you as an old person, but you're a longtime Las Vegan, and you've been involved in the entertainment scene for a while, and that's why we wanted to have you on CityCast today, because we're going to talk about supper clubs, which seems to be kind of everywhere now. Well, let's start from the start there, John. How do you define the modern supper club?
It's a place where you can dine paired with an entertainment experience, usually built into the reservation. So that's the short version of it.
And do the modern supper clubs differ in any way from, I don't know, the old version that people might think of when they think of old Las Vegas?
You know, I think that there's a difference in the sense that some of them have a separate ticket buy with the dinner. We've had over the recent past have had some sort of included a cover charge for the performance and then tacked on dinner. A lot of, in the previous eras, it was common that you would buy dinner or buy the dinner show package all at once. You know, there were two separate charges.
Right? Okay. So you just kind of get it all together.
Right.
And I wonder if there's a difference between old and new with regard to the sort of the social engagement component of it. Because I've read that there is a lot of that supper clubs seem to be maybe more of an interactive with the whole crowd. Or are people just going there and keeping to themselves? I don't know, because I haven't been to a modern supper club, I don't think.
Yeah, unless you've been, well, the modern ones that we're looking at right now, or the fancy ones, first of all, are places like Delilah at Wynn Las Vegas and Mayfair Supper Club, Rouge Room out in, at Red Rock Resort is a new one that's just come online. Let's look at Delilah, for example, a grand scale supper club. They have a band on stage and dancers on platforms throughout the restaurant. So you go in there and you're eating, but you're also getting movement around you. And it's as interactive as you want it to be. Mayfair Supper Club is you're dining and you're watching an actual production show. And that's, you know, got characters and a band, and they're playing roles and reading a script. They've got dancers that ring, that encircle the stage, and with the water in the background on the Fountains of Bellagio. That can be seen as interactive and immersive, to use two overused but appropriate terms. You know, a lot of these places strive for that. And at a Rouge, the band's in the middle and the restaurants around it. Same thing. You know, it's as much as you want to, but it's not frowned upon. Like in a normal restaurant, you wouldn't feel as mobile, you know, if you were to go to a proper place.
Right. So you're saying people actually kind of have the ability, if they choose to, get up and sort of mingle with other people who are just like you, customer of the joint.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Exactly.
It's interesting. Sort of
it's more if it can be said, it's upscale and rather fancy, but it's also more relaxed to be in these places. It's a little bit less confined.
Okay. It sounds like we've got food, we've got cocktails, and we've got entertainment all in that same space. What do you think is the most important for the supper club? The food, the cocktails, or the entertainment?
That's a really good question. Great entertainment can mask some deficiencies in the culinary program.
Interesting.
Better
right.
than great food.
Masking mask bad entertainment? Bad,
right. Substandard entertainment.
And cocktails, there, where do those fit in?
Cocktails is not my thing. It's I'm always on the fizzy water train. But I think what I would recommend is for people to go in for the entertainment, and the food is kind of a bonus. I think you go in there and have light snacks and have a good time at a lot of these places. If you want a real dinner, then your focus is going to be on that. But I think the primary objective here is to be entertained. That's my feeling.
Okay, so entertainment, finding that top-notch production value or whatever. And I don't want to gloss over it, and I know that you don't imbibe, but certainly I would think, when I think of these kind of joints, that liquor is sort of free-flowing around you. Mm-hmm. Do they pay attention to that? Is that like an afterthought, or are they designing cocktail programs, to your observation, that are sort of going along with the mood of whatever this supper club movement is?
That is true, David, you're right. Yeah, and I should make sure that, and when I'm covering them, just, make sure that is understood. Like, we have a new place called The Vault at Bellagio that's right behind the cashier's cage. And it's a small room, but their whole thing is about a period cocktail. You know, they give out cocktails that were famous in over a particular era in a particular decade that are very well thought out. And their entertainment right now is simply just a DJ in the back in this room. And there are just a few tables, but the food's small. The cocktail program is extensive and well thought out. And the vibe is very cool in there, very cool. And I'm telling you that it's, if you don't know it's there, you will not find this place. It is a genuine hideaway. There's an unmarked door behind, like I said, a cashier's cage, and behind some table games. And you have to know where you're going.
I mean, that almost sounds like an episode, Speakeasy versus Supper Club, the new Vegas frontier, right?
I've got friends who say the same thing.
Look, I've got in my head a very 1940s version when you hear the word supper club, like those old time musicals where everyone is sitting around dressed up in tuxedos. The club is always called like the Tropicana or the Copacabana or whatever. And there's like a
exactly.
Busby Berkeley choreographed number with showgirls. A singer descends from the ceiling from nowhere. Is that happening? How elaborate do the shows get at the modern day supper clubs in Las Vegas?
You've described Mayfair almost to a T. I think they've got some Lyra hoops in that place. The last time I was there, they did. They have Ariel in there. And it's like, I know what you're saying. It's like the old, somebody at the table is going to get up and join the band, for a number,
Right, that's the right. Kind of the thing ingenue you're just jumps in.
Oh, me? I'm not dressed. Okay. And, right. That's happened at Delilah, actually, where they've had
people from the audience jumping in and being part of the show.
There have been a couple of times when I've been in there when singers, we know who they are in the room, at, who are known kind of to Las Vegas. They're not superstars, but they come up and they join the band for a number. And we've had the celebrities there, by the way, who just do it anyway, like, Justin Timberlake and Jimmy Fallon and, those guys have gotten up on stage as well. Dennis Rodman got up with the band one night.
Right, the famous singer, Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. Yeah, he's recording a live CD. Yeah,
if there that's is crazy.
CDs anymore. No, he was, but he just joined the band. So a lot of them are trying to do that. But a good example of one that is sort of in the face of that and is more, kind of vintage vibe, but more forward thinking, is a place I was just at last night, Vic's Las Vegas, which is in Symphony Park.
Okay, so now we're off strip.
Off strip. Yeah, this is a great off strip. There's plenty of these off strip folks. And I went in there because Penn Jillette was playing with Mike Jonesy Jones, the great bebop jazz piano player, and Jeff Hamilton, who's probably the greatest living jazz drummer. And Penn is a great stand-up bass player now.
Right,
he's been working
right.
on this for quite a while, as you know. And that place was packed for them. And that is a genuine restaurant that faces a stage with an advanced sound system, great lighting. there's not a bad seat in the room. The food's great. And that is what they've set up is they're trying to get people from the Smith Center, from both Reynolds Hall and Myron's, to come over after shows to hang out at the club. And their dedicated band is the Las Vegas Academy Jazz Players. They're out of the LVA. And that's pretty cool.
I've been there a couple times, and I've also heard, like, you know, it could be really noisy. There were some complaints from some of the musicians that the crowd wasn't particularly respectful. Can they compete? Can a place like Vix compete with the kind of the more elaborate ones you talk about, like at Delilah and Mesa?
Vix is not at the scale of certainly of either one of those. You know, I think the thing with Vix is its location and its appeal to pretty much a locals audience expressly. You know, all the developments going down in the Symphony Park area. That's what
for sure.
You know, they're going after locals, and you will get inattentive audiences, especially at a place like Delilah.
Oh, okay. So that's not just a Vix issue.
No. Mayfair is more you're looking at the show because it's a show difference. Mm. The band at Delilah, the early band is sometimes just a trio, and the late, they shift over to a late show, and that has a more advanced band. And Sunday nights, if you're a music fan at Delilah, is the time to go because they have a big band in there. But a place to go that will be, that's sort of like a smaller scale that locals can enjoy is Maxim Jazz here in Las Vegas. It has no cover, but a dinner F&B minimum of $25 a piece, and they have some very good top-notch locals act. Like, for example, Joey Melotti, who's Barry Manilow's keyboardist, has brought in bands in there frequently and performed in there. The Hot Club of Las Vegas, a gypsy jazz band that is fronted by Noribel Gorgoy, a great singer, and Mundo Juliarat, a great guitarist here in Las Vegas, who, you know, local musicians really know this band. They're in there.
Okay.
And so if you look for that, they're not going to be or claim to be the strip caliber, but they are significant.
Yeah, and that's a great lead-in because I don't think anyone would disagree that there's just an endless supply of really talented performers, entertainers, musicians. It's all about finding the right venue and the right vehicle for their talents. Mm-hmm. I am curious about these sort of like offerings for locals, right? Because as locals, we can't always afford to drop the big bucks all the time. And so, mm-hmm. I don't know, John, what are ways that locals can enjoy some of these offerings without breaking the bank?
Well, I would say, well, if you really don't want to break the bank, the Dispensary Lounge on Trop and Eastern, which has been around forever, but just about 10 years ago started adding jazz to its programming. That's a no cover. You pay a nominal fee for entertainment, and they have a tavern menu, and they have a little stage. I call it the Water Wheel Lounge because it's behind the fake water wheel, or it's next to the fake water wheel in the corner. And that place kicks. Wynton Marsalis has played in there. Brian Newman's band from Lady Gaga has played in there. And it's a small, cozy little joint. And we should mention, by the way, Nomad Library. That's another supper club thing with Brian Newman, After Dark, Lady Gaga's band leader. He's down at Park MGM as well.
Well, that's so really neat that he's kind of splitting his time between the Strip and way off the Strip, because Trop and Eastern, I think, is definitely file under way off the Strip. I'm going to just say, I do love the Dispensary. I'm sad to a certain degree that, you know, they've been around since the 80s, I think, and certainly haven't, you know, upgraded the furnishings. And I think that's a positive. A bar where there's carpeting and all this wood furniture and the water wheel that you described, it's awesome. And they do have a great burger there. But the name, I think a lot of people get confused, think it may be a cannabis place. So I felt sad for them on that.
Yeah, when bad things happen to good names, yeah. They didn't used to be a problem, believe me. That's true.
No, it's definitely one of my favorite recommends to people. Just the Dispensary in general has been for years and years. Any other good locals recommendation?
I'd say right now a place that's kind of sort of advancing the cause is the Copa at Bootlegger Bistro. You'll find us there a lot. That's on Monday night at Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns, which a lot of people think is the best band in the West. They're certainly among the best. That's Lady Gaga's horn section in that show. That's Monday nights. They're bringing in national acts, jazz acts.
So this is at the Bootlegger Bistro, which is an Italian restaurant on the very, 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 very south end of the Strip.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And just entertainment in the middle of the restaurant space?
No, this is the Copa Room is actually attached to the Bootlegger Bistro. The bistro itself has entertainment nightly. And that's okay. that is also the restaurant has players in there every night. And then in the Copa Room, which is a proper room, a showroom, a couple hundred, 250, I think, capacity. Oh. They're doing shows and regular shows, and they're offering food. They're starting to offer food for all those shows, which they didn't do before. So the Copa, like you described earlier, you know, the Copacabana. Kind of,
yeah.
And aside from Santa Fe, everything's new in there. And that's a cool spot that locals can get to it. You can park there easily.
Got it. So, John, what I'm hearing is it sounds like any place with food and entertainment can be a supper club, but some elevate it. Is that a fair summary of how you're kind of describing it?
It's like everything else, David. It's kind of broadened its definition. You know, dispensary wouldn't say it's a supper club, but it's someplace you can do that. And if you look at a place like, look at the Opium Theater and its pairing with Super Freako. They offer entertainment in the restaurant. This is at the Cosmopolitan with some strolling entertainment from performers who will be in the stage show next door, which is a ticketed show. They don't call themselves a supper club. They don't like being called a supper club. But if you really want to get down to it, that's kind of the advanced version of a supper club. It's what the Spiegel World has created there.
Do you think that they avoid that title because there's some kind of downside to be calling a supper club? What do you think their motivation is there?
I think their motivation is they want to be so different that they don't, you know, there's a lot of things called a supper club. We don't want to be called a supper club. Another one that doesn't want to be called a supper club is the new Voltaire at the Venetian, where Kylie Minogue is going to be playing. They're going to have food in there. They're going to have an international headliner in there. And cocktails in a room that seats about 1,000 people. But this is a completely, don't call us a supper club. This is a completely different nightlife experience. You know, that's what their message is. Because there's so many places that we refer to as supper clubs. So,
sure.
You know, it's up to us to kind of weed out. It's like, you know, like the term residency has been morphed over the years. It's changed and things are, you know, artists might not want to be called a residency in some instances. Supper clubs are the same way. But I for me, it's where you can have supper and be entertained all at the same time, simply.
Got it. And, you know, this supper club fervor that's happening right now, which I'm very interested to talk about, is it in some way supplanting that whole bottle service moment that we had where people were spending, you know, $1,000 on a bottle of Jack Daniels because it came out with sparklers and pretty servers?
Mm-hmm. These places want to be the counter to that. You know, I think it's for folks who are over that particular entertainment experience, have kind of grown beyond it or gotten out of that demo, and still want to have a good time at night in Las Vegas. That's especially what Voltaire has been talking about. You know, you don't feel like you're not going to feel like you've been beaten up after a night out. Certainly Rouge Room out at the at Red Rock is set up that way. It's not going to be EDM thumping all night long and you're not able to really hear the person you're with. It's going to be more atmospheric entertainment in a lot of ways and a way that you can enjoy it, come back to a conversation, enjoy the food and be a little calmer, I should say.
Yeah. So do you think supper clubs are for everyone? I mean, if I'm the stereotypical tourist who's never seen anything like this, and I show up to one of these clubs in, I don't know, Bermuda short and flip-flops, am I going to have a good time?
I think you can. You know, yeah, I think you can. There's another place that we should note that fits what you're talking about, David, and it's called the Composer's Show Lounge. And it's being built into the Commercial Center right now. Now, this is being developed at what used to be called the Nevada Room in the Commercial Center, which faces Lotus of Siam and faces out toward Sahara. You drive into the Commercial Center, right? God, it was an Hispanic.
It's actually been a couple of entertainment efforts that didn't last long at all, to the point where some people think that space might be a little, I hate to use the word, cursed.
I think all of Commercial Center, you could say that about, but it's now been taken over by Damian Costa, who runs what's called Pompeii Entertainment in Las Vegas. And he also manages Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club at Link Promenade and the Duomo at the Rio. It's, you know, he wants to showcase supper club entertainment starring Las Vegas entertainers. So that's coming online, and that will be more, it will certainly be more locals friendly and more of a value. I don't know what the price points on everything are going to be yet, but it will not be in the whole, in the same scale as some of the others we've mentioned previously.
Right.
I think if they do it right, and if they can change the trajectory of what's been happening at Commercial Center, and the Clark County commissioners are very interested in enticing more investment down there, I think that they'll have a shot. This is their best shot of success at that particular venue that they've had.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they could succeed where others have tried.
Yeah.
What is it about this moment in time that these supper clubs are proliferating and seemingly thriving?
I think people want to be able to put as much into a visit to Las Vegas or a night out in Las Vegas, if you live in Las Vegas, as they can. So jamming together meal and entertainment is a good idea. There's so much more to do in Las Vegas, as we know. There's so much competition for your money and your time that you have to be kind of efficient. So you could say, well, maybe I could go to this headlining show and do a big dinner after, or they've got this Mayfair, or they've got this Delilah thing that we could do, and it's all in one, you know, or you can do more with your time than you used to be able to. I think that's a big part of it. I think people want to be more efficient in the way that they spend their time in Las Vegas. And if they can get great food and a great vibe and some cool entertainment in their visit, they'll do it.
John Katsoulimidis of the Las Vegas Review Journal, thank you so much for sharing all that here on CityCast Las Vegas.
Thanks for having me, David. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And now for some listener feedback. David Turner has lived in Vegas since 1960 and called in about one of our Red Rock episodes he listened to recently. Here's what he had to say.
I do not agree with letting anybody build within the sight line from Red Rock Canyon. And they're already doing it in Hughesite, and I'm opposed to all of this. Thank you for your time. Bye.
And another listener texted us about Monday's rerun on why some bands still skip Las Vegas. They wrote in with a suggestion. If you ever revisit this topic, you should try and have some of the buyers who book the low and mid-level acts at the non-strip venues. Thanks, everyone. And don't forget, we love your feedback. So leave us a voicemail or text us at 702-514-0719. That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. Another place you could give us feedback is in a review wherever you're listening to this episode. And while you're there, a 5-star rating would be a great gesture to let us know you like what we're trying to do in the city we all love. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Till then, stay lucky. We both have names that make people think. What is going on there?
That's for sure. David with a Y, or why not, as we say. But you got mine right, so thank you. That's not.
Lots of practice. Sure.